Right. Morning, everybody. It's always slightly demoralizing to see half of the people leave, but it's okay. I'm sure they're going to benefit lots from their classes. That's fantastic. Okay, so the subject that you're starting to look at, I believe it's the first one, is that right? It is the first one of three, I think it is. It's being devoted to, and you're looking at in the Acts, those early Christians, and what they devoted themselves to. And it's really worthwhile, isn't it? Because those early Christians loved the Lord Jesus, and they were seeking to live for him in their lives. So as Christians here this morning, or maybe if you don't know him, to begin to understand who he is in our lives, it's really important to look at those early Christians and see what it was that they did and what they thought was important. So being devoted to the breaking of bread is what we're looking at. So Acts chapter 2, and we just for reference so that you know what you're looking at, I thought I'd put this up. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this morning, we're thinking about breaking of bread. And we've read that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together. Let's just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just a few verses there. We're going to think about this passage. We're also going to look at Luke's gospel just as we go through the breaking of bread and think about it. I'll just read it out to you now, what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." We'll think of some more verses, and we'll think what some of that means as we go through just a short while here this morning. So I want us to think about this in context of what the early Christians did. So firstly, the historical origin of the breaking of bread. Then I want us to think about the believing participants in the breaking of bread. I want us to think about the visible act, the thoughtful act, and then the spiritual act. You may think that it's all just one thing, isn't it? Just taking bread and wine. But we're going to think about what it means in those three different ways. And then finally, the sacred seriousness of the breaking of bread. Hopefully, by the time we finish this morning, we all understand what it is, why it's important, and what those early Christians there did. So first of all, the historical origin of the breaking of bread. So firstly, Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the event. And it wasn't until I started looking at this, I didn't realize that John didn't actually record the breaking of bread, which is interesting, isn't it? I mean, having read about it so much, but John does look at the Last Supper, if you like, with regards to the time that the Lord spent with the disciples in the upper room, because that's where the Lord Jesus asked his disciples to do this, to break bread and what the bread symbolized in his body, and to take the cup, and that was his blood in the new covenant. Well, think about what all of those words mean in just a second. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the event. John has the event of the Passover up in that room. You know, when I don't have time to talk about absolutely everything, there's so much there to talk about this morning, but it's amazing when you think about that event. The event surrounding when the Lord told the disciples to do this. Because in that event, you'll remember that the Lord washes the disciples' feet. You'll remember that happens. You'll also remember, and so the Lord, if you like, shows them incredible love and shows incredible humility and shows them how they should act. You'll also remember that they all argued about who was the greatest. And we'll think about 1 Corinthians 11, some things that the early Christians were doing that wasn't right as they came together to break bread. And in all of that, we'll try to understand perhaps what the Lord was trying to help them to do in the breaking of bread and the taking of the cup. So it's recorded there, and if it's recorded in all three Gospels, almost in four Gospels, it's obviously something that's very important. All the records in Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that Jesus gathered with his disciples. They all record that he gives thanks. They all record that he breaks the bread and takes the cup and passes it to them. They all record that he blessed it and gave it to them. And they all state that the bread is his body, and they all state the cup is his blood or the new promise because of his sacrifice. And they all, like I put there, reference the sacrifice for sins. So all these things are important. When we think about the bread, we think about the cup, take communion, sometimes it's called, perhaps it's called the Lord's Supper. We'll think about that in a second. But the taking of the bread and the taking of the cup is something that the Lord Jesus asked them to do and is recorded in the Gospels, and we have in all accounts these things given for us. So, Luke chapter 22 says this: when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the cup, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And I've just highlighted some important words there. Giving thanks, take this, dividing it. The fact that it is fruit of the vine, bread, broke it, given for you, poured out for you. These are the words that the Lord Jesus used when he's there in the upper room with his disciples as he institutes this thing that they should do. So the early church, it's very clear as we're looking at the historical origin, the early church did as Jesus has asked. We read about them breaking bread with one another. The early church called it the Lord's Supper. So that's not made up. It's good to know, isn't it, that we get these expressions from the Bible. You see that in 1 Corinthians 11, and Paul says, "So then when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat." So it's called the Lord's Supper by the early Christians, and we call it something similar today, don't we? Clearly, it was a practice of those first Christians. And therefore, if those early Christians who loved the Lord and were seeking to enjoy him and understand him more deeply in their lives did this, then it's something that we should be taking note of too. So Jesus authored the Lord's Supper. Jesus told us to do the same. Early Christians practice it, and it was clearly an important activity in the early church. So, the historical origin. The next is this, the believing participants. Believing participants. So, the Lord's Supper is for the gathered family of those who believe. I've tried to phrase that as best as I possibly can. The Lord's Supper, this time where Christians come together and they break bread and they take the cup. It is for the gathered family of those who believe. Those who believe what? Those who believe in the Lord Jesus. Those who believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for their sin, to take away their sin, that he rose from the dead. Those that trust in the Lord Jesus with their life and trust and have put their faith in him. So it's not for those who do not trust in Jesus. It's not just something that anybody can come along and just take part in. It isn't just out of interest or curiosity and we'll see how I feel afterwards. It's not for that purpose. It is for those who already trust and believe in the Lord Jesus. But saying that, observing is very welcome. That's why there's a welcome mat there. And it's not a secret meeting. And it's important, right, to understand that. As Christians, we want to tell everybody how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. And we spent some time this morning and we thought deeply about the love of the Lord. And it was a lovely time that we spent together, remembering him and thanking him and praising him. And we want other people to understand what that is like. We want people to know about the Lord Jesus. And so it's not a secret thing. It's not like we go and lock ourselves off in some room somewhere and tell everybody that they can't come and listen and observe and hear about how much we love the Lord and how much he's done for us. So coming and listening is important. And the time is there to proclaim and not to be in private, because we're talking about the Lord Jesus. We're talking about his love for us. So if this morning you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you don't have him in your life, but you're interested in what this was all about, and this is, happens every Sunday here, every Sunday in my church back in Hurst as well, 9:30 here next week, they break bread and they take the cup and we sing songs and we think about the Lord Jesus, we remember him and we worship and we praise him. And coming and being part of that is something that is welcomed and is lovely and will bring blessing. But to take part in the breaking of bread, to take part in the cup, means that you would already have accepted the Lord Jesus because of what we're going to look at in just a second, in what is involved and what it means. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's in 1 Corinthians 11. So really just underlying that proclamation of what it is that happens when we break bread and we take the cup. We're proclaiming something of the Lord's death, something of the Lord Jesus until he comes. So it's normally at a gathered fellowship. It's not an individual event. We don't do this on our own. We don't, if there's nobody else around, then we don't break bread and take the cup. When we read, and we'll look at some of the verses in just a second, it's the gathered fellowship. I've used the word gathered fellowship there. I know people hold slightly different opinions about whether it needs to be in a normal place of worship like this or somewhere else. But 1 Corinthians 11 mentions five times something about the fact that it is the gathered fellowship. Verse 17 says, "The following directives I have no praise for you for your meetings," we read, "do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you." Verse 20, "So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat." And down to 33, "So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together." So we get this idea that it is a fellowship. It is a when the church or when those that love the Lord Jesus come together. So that's important as well. Now, I'm not going to stand at the front and say that that means that certain events when you're away somewhere, perhaps as a church or perhaps even part of a church, whether it is right or wrong to break bread in those circumstances. I'm quite happy for you to talk to me afterwards about my opinion on it. But different people feel different ways. But what's important here is that there are gathered people who love the Lord that come together. And normally, let's put that word over the top of it, that would mean that there's a church here that loves the Lord Jesus, that is seeking to live for him in their lives. That's the right place that we would come together and to break bread and to take the cup, which is as was done here this morning. So, on to these acts. Breaking it down to the visible act, thoughtful and spiritual. So we'll start with the visible act, and that's quite important. So firstly, it involves eating and involves drinking. Quite obviously, there's something very physical, very tangible, very something that you can see with your eyes, if you like. He took the bread and he gave it to them. He took the cup and he told them to divide it. So perhaps I've never noticed that before, but this idea that the Lord breaks the bread, takes it and tells them to pass it one to another and to divide it among themselves, that idea of fellowship, that we are together collectively here worshipping God, worshipping our Lord Jesus, and praising him as we come together, just as the Lord asks us to do. But there's a very physical part of this, a very visible act as the bread is broken and as it's passed one person to the other and as they take and they eat of it. A physical action involved, this visible act that we have. So what about the bread? I read nothing in the New Testament that specifies if it should be gluten-free or anything else at all. Whether such things existed then, I don't know. I don't know whether gluten, I don't even know what gluten is, to be honest with you. I don't know what I'm talking about, gluten. But I understand it can be a problem for some people. So bread, nothing to specify the details. Nothing to say that it should be a round loaf or a big loaf or a little loaf. Or there's none of that at all. And I love that. I love the fact that the Lord Jesus and this institution of remembering him is very simple. And it has so much room, if you like, within the bread that it's not stipulating, but it does say bread. We're going to think about that in a second. But it is bread. So the look, the type, the size, I would suggest to you, doesn't matter. Now, the cup is interesting, because I've always said wine. Always said wine. I don't know why. I think there's just a conceptually that I grew up, and it was wine. But actually, it says the cup. Very clearly, it says the cup. It says more than that. It says nothing more given apart from the fruit of the vine. So it says the cup and fruit of the vine. So when we come to that, it could be wine. It could be grape juice. It could have been a very weak wine that they had then. It could be anything. It allows room again for interpretation, let's say. But obviously, you're trying to make sure that fruit of the vine is something that is satisfied in whatever is in the cup. Okay, so there it is. Fruit of the vine, again, not rigid, not stipulating exactly what it is, but to remember perhaps that the cup, the fruit of the vine is symbolic of the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus because he loved us, that blood. So we have the bread of his body, we have the cup, the fruit of the vine, representing the sacrifice that was made and his blood and that new promise that we have because of the Lord Jesus, that we can truly know God in our lives. So those two symbols, if you like, I just put at the bottom, it's not license to replace with anything that we want. You can't replace bread and the cup or the fruit of the vine with just anything at all. That's perhaps playing with something that we just shouldn't be playing with. It's quite clear the symbols or the things that we're asked to do are very simple for that reason. I suspect there's not really ever been a real scarcity of bread across the planet. And I suggest there's probably never been a scarcity of the fruit of the vine across the planet. So it's lovely, isn't it, that these things aren't hard to come by. And they're simple symbols that show us something of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for us. So then, we have the physical act, the bread and the cup. What about the frequency as we look at the visible act? 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for whenever, another, the ESV I think it is says, or as often as, I think the AV has that too, you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what does that mean? Does it mean daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly? People think different things about the frequency. I'm not going to tell you one way or another what I believe is emphatically the right thing, because I don't believe that the Bible explicitly states what we should do. I completely understand why people think weekly makes sense, and I actually personally agree with weekly. But what is the right frequency, I think, depends upon a church. What's important is what I've written up here. The importance of the Lord's Supper is correctly observed. And what does that mean? Well, whenever we come together for the Lord's Supper, I'm going to suggest to you, and as we look at the other aspects of it, it's an important thing. It's an important thing for us Christians to observe. It's an important aspect of our Christian lives. And therefore, whenever we come and we break bread and we take the cup, it's important that our attitude and how we come and what we do is correctly observing the Lord's Supper and ensuring the importance of the Lord Jesus is made clear and is brought about. So, I know some churches believe that monthly is correct, or just over monthly, some of them. many of us, I know here, I know back in Hurst, we believe weekly is the right thing to do. I know some perhaps even do daily, which is fine. So the Bible says just the verses that we have on screen there. So the frequency perhaps isn't as important as for you and I as we come together, making sure that as we come to the breaking of bread service, that we come with the correct attitude. And we're going to think about some of that in just a second. So, the visible act. Verse 17 of Luke 22 says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. And later on we hear, do this. So the Lord wants those disciples to take this and do this in remembrance of him. There's an instruction there that we are doing something. And so actually, when we come to the visible act, it is important that we adhere to the things that the Lord Jesus has asked us to do. Take this, do this. Let's have a little think about the thoughtful act. What do we mean by the thoughtful act? Well, quite clearly, the coming together, the remembering of the Lord Jesus is what is at mind. It involves remembering. Remembering. What is that about? Do this in remembrance of me. They're the verses that we read there in Luke 22. That's what the Lord Jesus says to do. Our mind, therefore, should not be in neutral. Back in the day when you didn't have an automatic car and you used to be able to put it in neutral. In fact, there's some folks here from my original church in Cardiff here, and I can remember coming down the M4 and putting the car in neutral to save fuel as I was coming off. It was important back then, you know. Putting ourselves in neutral. Not you understand the concept there, that when we come along and we're trying to worship the Lord together, we're not just there and just like, oh, just, you know, I'm here again, I'll see what happens. That's not how we're to come to the breaking of bread service. We're to come along with our minds ready and prepared. Because we're here to remember the Lord Jesus. We're here to look back. We're here to spend time devoting, worshipping him, praising him, and remembering what he's done for us. To direct our minds back to the historical reality of the Lord Jesus. Back to what he did for us in dying on the cross, being raised from the dead. Back to understanding who he was and what he did. And we thought a little bit about some of that this morning with what the Lord did in his love for Mary and Martha and the story of Lazarus. And we think back to those events and we remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. But we should not be passive as we come and we consider the Lord Jesus. There is to be something thoughtful, something meaningful. So we're to come prepared. Come with something to give. I can remember, I've referenced Bethesda now, so I'll keep going now, that's it. And I can remember going along to the morning meeting, perhaps when I was younger, and thinking, I'm not getting anything out of the morning meeting. You know, that attitude of I'm not getting anything out of it. And I think the problem there is that I wasn't putting something into the morning meeting. You know, when you come to the morning meeting, you come with something to give. You come because you want to praise the Lord Jesus. You want to thank him. And if you come with that attitude, if you come with that heart, with something to give, if you come prepared, then I assure you, you will come away the better for it. You will come away being able to say, I did get something from the morning meeting, just like we did this morning. Come to share and to have fellowship. And you know, that's important too. I referenced a little bit about the Last Supper there. And the more I think about it, the more I think about the events of what the Lord was doing in the washing of the feet, in the disciples bickering about who was going to be the greatest. And the Lord, there's so many events that really, sadly, the Lord is trying to correct them and help them to understand their need for love for one another. In 1 Corinthians 11, we're here, and we have people, and we haven't read the verses yet, but they all went ahead, one after the other, and they had I believe in 1 Corinthians 11, they would have a meal beforehand, before going into what we would perceive to be the breaking of bread, but they weren't waiting for each other, and some of them were stuffing themselves full of food, and some of them didn't have any, and there was no love. There was no love. And I think it's really important in the breaking of bread as we come together and we remember something about the Lord Jesus and his love for us, that we come with that attitude. We come with his attitude, with love one for another. That is, together, as we worship and praise him, we are having fellowship with one another whilst sharing something of our love of the Lord. So we come and have fellowship and we share, and we come with meaning and with purpose. Fifthly, the spiritual act. You can tell I'm not too far away, so it's okay. Although I'll be honest, I've completely forgotten what time I was supposed to finish, so I may already be 10 minutes late. Am I okay? Is it quarter past? Ah, we're good. Two more points. Okay. The spiritual act. And this is important. This is really important. Unbelievers can do the first two actions. Have you thought about that? I actually read that the devil could potentially do the first two actions, but we won't go into details on that. But actually, physically being able to take the bread and wine and physically being able to remember, those are things that anybody could do. Whether you love the Lord or not, you could physically take the bread and wine and you could actually remember, or you could look back and think about the Lord Jesus. So there's something more important here. There's something spiritual that goes on at the breaking of bread service. There's something that's bigger than the physical act and the remembering. Remembering is essential. The Lord said that. Do this in remembrance of me. But it's not the key thing. We must come in a worthy manner. And that's where the aspect of the spiritual comes in. It's not just about looking back and remembering who the Lord was and remembering what he did in dying on the cross. The attitude of our hearts, how we come, is important. To come in a worthy manner. I think the reality is that we're honest, and we need to be honest as we come to worship the Lord and to give thanks to him. We'll understand that we are not worthy. So when I say we come in a worthy manner, when you read those verses and it says, let a man examine himself and so let him eat, it's not that you think about yourself and think, yeah, I'm okay. Now I can eat. Or I've done something and, or yeah, I wasn't too bad this week. Or that isn't the attitude. We need to all understand that none of us is worthy. And every time we come together and break bread, every time that we take the cup, we need to examine ourselves, because we need to recognize we are unworthy. We are unworthy. The reason we're able to do it is because of the Lord Jesus, because of his sacrifice, because of his grace, because of his love, because of him, not us. So coming in a worthy manner is not about me. We're worthy because of him. We are partaking of Jesus' body and blood. And it's an amazing reality. Now, where do we get that from? Partaking of Jesus' body and blood. You've got to go back a chapter in 1 Corinthians to 10. And it says in verse 16, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Isn't that amazing? We're actually entering into, in the breaking of bread and the taking of the cup, the body and the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. See, we're actually entering into something that is beyond the physical, beyond the remembering. This is actually entering into the sacrifices of Christ. Participant in his sacrifice. By faith, you receive benefit or blessing because of what Christ did. That's what's lovely about the morning meeting. You know, if you just come and you just take and you don't think and you don't bring, then you miss out. Because by faith, you receive the benefit of blessing because of what Christ did. So the more we understand about him, as we come with an attitude of thankfulness, of love to him, that we bring something for him, we also enter into Christ and we benefit as a consequence of what he's done. Eat and drinking, our faith reaches out and accepts all that Christ had done for us. It's more than physical or thoughtful. The Lord's Supper is a real time to truly worship the Lord Jesus, to thank him, to think on him, and I put at the end there, to own him. Because in that time, we enter into the blessings, we enter into all that the Lord Jesus has given and brought us into because of his sacrifice for us. And the last is this, the sacred seriousness. And it's important because if you go on and you read some of the verses, I think I have them on screen in a second. We must not come in a careless way. We must not come in an unworthy manner. We must not come without self-examination. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. It goes on to talk about that's why many are weak and sick, and even some have died, fallen asleep. If we were more discerning with regards to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. It's a real stark, important warning. You have to remember here that Paul's speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to those that are unsaved, taking the bread and wine in an unworthy way. This is Christians who profess to love the Lord are coming and taking it in an unworthy manner. That's who this is speaking to. Those who have accepted and yet were neglecting the Lord's Supper. And they're disciplined. They become weak or ill, and some have even died. Amazing that God actually steps in and stops Christians misusing the Lord's Supper. Perhaps this is a stern reminder of how important it is, but you know what? Taking a step back from coming in an unworthy way, coming to the Lord's Supper without the right attitude, you know what? This highlights how important the Lord's Supper is to me. Highlights it because if you do it in an unworthy way, it's a serious thing. But surely that highlights to us how important breaking bread, remembering the Lord Jesus, remembering all that he's done for us is, and taking the cup and understanding something of him. God wants the very best of us, and started the morning meeting this morning talking about the glory of God. And the fact that Lazarus and what happened to Lazarus was actually so Mary and Martha could see something. And the disciples could see something of the glory of God. And they went through a difficult time so that actually they could see God's glory. And that's his desire for us. You and me here this morning is that we might know something of God's glory. We might truly get in our lives how wonderful the Lord Jesus is and how important he is. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Another translation, which I actually like better, says, and so let him eat. And I like that. Yes, there's a warning there. Yes, it's important. But the command is there that we, after examining, so we eat. So we benefit. So we enter into all that the Lord Jesus wants us to know of him and understand of him. This is the final slide. It's a request from our Lord Jesus, the breaking of bread, taking the cup. It's a request from our Lord to remember him and all that he has done, such that we might be blessed as we see him and own him. You know, it's God's desire that we truly know the Lord Jesus in our lives. And this simple reminder, this simple regular coming together as a church, coming together as those that love him, in bringing something of our praise and our worship and our love for him, breaking the bread and taking the cup is something he wanted us to do, something that will bring us blessing if we come in the manner that he asked us to do. Challenge myself this morning as well on how important, how sacred, how high in our priorities is coming together on a Sunday morning as a fellowship and bringing our love and our thanks and adoration to the Lord Jesus. And I encourage all of us to think just on that. Let's just have a word of prayer together, shall we?